a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
First and 10. Pressure's coming. Richardson slips. Now he's airing it out. Deep down the field for Pierce. Pierce! Touchdown! What a throw by Richardson! A 60-yard touchdown!
Never good when Anthony Richardson's actually connecting on the passes he throws downfield, especially if he's connecting with wide receivers who sound like they're presidents from the mid-1830s, but that happened a couple of times against the Texans the last time these two teams faced earlier this year. And in a 29-27 win that the Texans had over the Colts, they did slow down Jonathan Taylor, who has owned them over the course of his career. 16 carries for just 48 yards and a touchdown. It's a 3 yards per carry average. But do you know who really owns the Texans now? And this is just a bizarre statistic that'll piss you off, Joe. Anthony Richardson, in 6 quarters against the Houston Texans, has 5 touchdowns, has averaged 9.2 yards per pass, has a QBR of 90.1, and has averaged 10 yards a carry.
Wow.
The Texans have made Anthony Richardson look like the second coming.
Yeah, and I know that first game, what, he scored on his first 2 possessions and then he got hurt? So we,
yes.
His debut last year, so it's still a relatively small sample size. But, I mean, those 2 deep passes, he torched them in that first game. And you got to think that even if Jimmy Ward, I guess, he's out again this week, I'd assume. I don't think he's practiced at all this week. That, you know, maybe that's better that he's not out there. But they'll be trying to do the same thing, trying to throw deep to, what is it, Doolin, whatever his name is. Michael Pittman trying to connect to those guys deep down the field. So that's, I did not realize, just because it's such a small sample size, it's been that effective. Especially because the completion percentage was pretty low in that last game, too, for Richardson. But new Texans killer? Hopefully not. Colts killer's not out there.
Well, the Nico Collins is not there. Yeah. You're right. It's the first ever Houston Texans Colt killer, and you don't have him for the second game between these two teams. And, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of Colts that have historically owned the Texans. It was Peyton Manning first. It was T.Y. Hilton second. It was Jonathan Taylor third. And to this point, it has been Anthony Richardson. It's crazy. Because you go on Colts Reddit, and everyone's asking, why is he so inaccurate? How is he this bad at throwing the football? And he missed a lot of throws against the Texans. Honestly, it could be even worse if he'd hit a couple of those deep throws that he had missed against Houston in week one.
Oh, it could have been a lot worse. If he was an average – man, I remember that was the lead story on Monday. It was – if they played a competent quarterback, they would have lost that football
game. They would have lost that game, right.
And, you know, thankfully for the Texans, he's probably looked worse since that game.
He has looked worse since that game, but at the same time, just remember – he has owned your ass to this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that in mind, hey, what are you expecting to happen on Sunday? They don't do a very good job of containing him, and deep plays have been a problem for this team for a while.
Yeah, they have to definitely change like their strategy a little bit. And I think the one part from those stats that kind of stands out as a red flag to me with this game is the 10.1 rushing yards per game. That without your main linebackers – and the fact that you've got, you know, Jake Hansen, Neville Hewitt, Devin White are going to be your 3 main guys, that, you know, asking them to slow down Anthony Richardson if he's going to start taking off and running the ball constantly, that to me is the one part of this game where I'm a little more, it's something I think we need to watch carefully for sure.
White's going to be interesting in this game because we heard from C.J. Stroud earlier this week. Stroud believes that he's fast entirely because he was able to outrun Devin White on a play last year. I think White had a sack and a half of him in last year. B-Mac, starting to throw this at you last second back at Mission Control. We're here at Bobcat of Houston up in Porter until 2 o'clock. 10% off of parts and supplies, plus there's lunch, and you can enter to win a new Bobcat ZT3000 with 48-inch deck, an Arctic cooler, or an Echo trimmer and blower. B-Mac, this is Devin White was finally made available to Houston Texans media, Texans reporters yesterday, and here's what he had to say when he was asked about his past, both with the Bucs and with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't know. I really don't think about the past no more because at the end of the day, you know, I'm where my feet is right now, and I only can thrive here, you know, and I can thrive with these guys and in this system and with these coaches and, you know, this community. So that's the only thing that I worry about. All the stuff I did in the past, yeah, it's on my resume, but right now it don't matter because I got a bigger goal, and that's just to help these guys, you know. If I can get on the field anyway, any form, and help them, obviously they'll be doing me a big favor as well, helping me. And I just got to get these guys to trust me and let me go out there and lay some wood.
Get out there.
I like that.
And lay some wood. Okay. It's great to hear it, but is he actually going to do it? He hasn't played this year.
I lean no, but I'm hopeful for a surprise this weekend, Paul. I'm hopeful for a surprise that whatever happened in Philly was just maybe, you know, maybe just wasn't a fit schematically or whatever it was, and that, you know, D'Amico Ryans, you know, being a former, you know, linebacker himself, obviously will get the best out of Devin White. I have low expectations. Anything he does that's positive will be a pleasant surprise, and will make the Texans look good. Anything that goes bad, I think we'll just kind of all go, yeah, we saw that coming.
Yep. So we'll see. I'm not expecting a whole lot out of him in this game, but hey, look, I mean, you're going to need him to do something because you are at a spot with your linebackers, with Aziz Alshaier banged up, and with Christian Harris not back, and with Henry To'oto'o, at least yesterday, not being at practice, where you need to have somebody who can run with that guy. I just don't know that Devin White can still run with that guy. White didn't play at all for the Eagles, at all. And, I mean, the end of his time in Tampa Bay, it was bad. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, the last year started well. Like, obviously, he had 9 tackles, I think it was, against the Texans. So, like, he had good moments still, but it's just, there's a reason why guys don't play. You know, there's a reason why, like, he's a free agent. There's a reason why he was cut on October 8th and then did not get signed for 15 days. If, like, people really thought that there was some value there in Devin White, then I think there was 31 teams that could have gone and signed him, and none of them chose to do it. So that's why I get why, like, it's a fun thing where if you are playing Madden today, I'm sure you add him to the Texans roster and he's still highly rated and it's super cool to have him on your defense. But besides that, like, it's just, there's a reason why he's a free agent. So anyone that's expecting Devin White to come in and be an ultimate impact guy this weekend, I would try to, you know, reset your expectations a little bit. But you're right. They need him to be impactful because while the linebackers were solid last week, it is a different animal this week. You've got Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson. You've got some talented wide receivers who will be over the middle of the field. And you just have to, you know, you can't withstand every injury. Like, at some point, it's going to bite you in the ass. And, like, Devin White stepping up and being big for this team would be awesome.
It would be. And I would be the first one to admit, hey, I was wrong. Because I didn't like the signing at first. Because you take a look at the track record, and I mean, some of the stuff that this guy has on record about him since his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's not great. And that's what I wonder about. Like, is this really in the past for this guy? I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I am too. I don't.
It could be good for 1 week, but what happens when everyone returns and he's all of a sudden put to the back seat again?
Well, that's what you kind of hope for, right? Like, you just need him to be good enough until To'oto'o and Aziz Alshaier get back.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, that's the thing. I wonder if they're coming back anytime soon. So, they're, from that perspective, it's, shoot, you might be without these guys for a while, and you have to throw him out there, a guy who might not be the same player. Or two, he comes in, and then all of a sudden, they put him in the back seat. Because I don't think they cut him after this. And clearly D'Amico Ryans, based off of what he was saying yesterday, has called him a couple of times and wanted him to come here. But, hey, you got to actually be a good teammate here. And yeah, while he's saying the past is the past, and I guess I'm willing to give him a fresh start, I'm just skeptical that it's going to be any different this time.
100%. I mean, and you're right. Like, what does he look like when he's the fourth linebacker on this depth chart? I mean, like, he's going to be below To'oto'o. He's going to be below Christian Harris and Aziz Alshaier. No, almost no matter how he plays. Like, unless Christian Harris, when he comes back, if he comes back, is a totally different player, Devin White will automatically move down the bottom of the depth chart. Like, he will be a guy that you'll see play probably 10, 15 snaps a game. So you need him to be good for this week. Hopefully Toto is back next week. I mean, there is, I guess, still a chance he could play on Sunday. Feels unlikely that he would, you know, he would practice, not practice, practice again and play. But hopefully you get at least one of these guys back next week and you can kind of just make it work. And the other part about this, though, for me is that there's still no excuse. You hired a defensive head coach. Like, you hired DeMeco Ryans for a reason. So when you have a bunch of injuries, the one side of the ball that I would expect to be able to more easily overcome them would be the defense. I know you can't overcome everything, but you should be able to make it work until at least one or two of these guys get back.
For what it's worth, they've been better on defense. They've actually improved a little bit as the season's gone along. I think the pressure has been, for the most part, very good this year. And they've had their moments, and clearly there were some issues in coverage last week. But they've also been a lot better, I think, against the big plays for the last couple of weeks. We'll see if that continues against the Colts, who were so good at killing them with them last time around. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Live in Porter at Bobcat of Houston for their grand opening. 10% off parts and supplies until 2 p.m. You can also enter to win a brand new Bobcat ZT3000 with 48-inch deck, an Arctic cooler, or an Echo trimmer and blower. Plus, there's lunch here. Again, we are up at Bobcat of Houston in Porter.
ESPN
97.5.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter.
You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on our YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio as well. So you got Texans and Colts on Sunday. I am curious about a couple of different things this weekend as well in the world of football. I really want to see how Texas responds against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
I think they took Georgia lightly. Georgia was as focused as ever for that game. Kirby Smart is still one of the top coaches. Vanderbilt is ranked. Vanderbilt clearly is not that talented. But is Texas actually going to not necessarily answer with the style point victory? Is Quinn Ewers finally going to look like the Quinn Ewers we remember? I'm very curious about that in tomorrow's action.
Yeah, that's one for me as well. It's just, man, if he doesn't look better, you feel like they got to go to Arch, right? Like, if he struggles the way he did.
I know how you feel.
Well, because if you're giving, I think everyone gives him the benefit of the doubt a little bit. It's Georgia. Like, that is the best defense he'll play all season unless he plays them again. So you give him a little bit of, you know, benefit of the doubt and see, you know, they set him down so he can calm down. He plays better in the second half. But if he struggles against Vandy, at some point, the way Arch played, you got to get him out there against SEC competition. Because, like, what happens if you lose him? Well, who cares? Quinn Ewers leaves? Transfers, plays somewhere else next year? Like, you have Arch Manning as your quarterback. So it doesn't matter if you piss him off. Like, it's, you're totally fine. So that's very important for Quinn, how he plays in this one. And you would assume that they're going to try to score quick and early. And then A&M for me. That's the one this weekend. A&M LSU.
Yeah?
I mean, A&M, like, they win this. They're top 10 in the country again. LSU pretty much, you know, I wouldn't say they secure a playoff berth, but they're pretty close.
This has all the makings of trademark Aggies loss. It really does. Big spot. They've got some good juju going. And maybe it's a good thing that last weekend against Mississippi State, things were so sloppy. Mm-hmm. I watched most of that game, and it just, I don't know what happened between Connor Wigman against Mizzou and Connor Wigman there, but he did not look good. And my Aggie fan friends who I was watching the game with were pissed. Not as best as my Texas fan.
Wait,
watch the game with.
So you were with your Aggie friends when the horns down happened?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I actually was with the person, one of the people who got mad about the horns down while we were watching Texas A&M against Mississippi State at a bungalow
gotcha.
In the Heights. And most of the people there, outside of my one friend, who's like my closest, were Aggies and were annoyed. They were all annoyed with what was going down.
I'm sure they were.
That's not a very good Mississippi State team, and they could have done a lot better.
Yeah, Mississippi State's not a good one, but
I'd also say this about LSU, too, and I know we got a lot of LSU folks who are listening. I mean, LSU also just trademarked, like, even though Brian Kelly's in, it's still the same stupid team year in, year out that does all sorts of mind-numbing mistakes that you think to yourself, hey, you got a hard-ass, like, little Brian Kelly out there who's, you would think, cleaning up some of the issues that have always plagued this team despite the ridiculous levels of talent they were able to bring into that program. And yet, it still happens seemingly every single year, where there's just a bunch of games where you're like, what are you doing?
That's why, is this a different, like, it's not the Mike Elko era. Like, how different can it be than the Jimbo era? Because that's why, like, I'll pick A&M to win this game, because I've seen Brian Kelly come up, you know, short by quite a few points usually in big-time games. Like, just as a Notre Dame fan, like, I've seen Brian Kelly drop the ball way too many times as a head coach. So that's why I don't believe in them ever. I can't do it because I just hate Brian Kelly. He's not great.
Brian Kelly, though, I mean, he did take the better job.
He did take the better job. I acknowledge that. LSU is a much better job.
It's just unfortunate that they're in an SEC that's as loaded as it is, where in the best case scenario, even at LSU with all the talent you get, until this year you were consensus third at best every single year because you didn't have Nick Saban and you don't have Kirby Smart. And now, okay, it's opened up a little bit, but is Steve Sarkisian in Texas going to take that, or is LSU going to take that?
Well, I would probably guess Steve Sarkisian in Texas. That would be the wager.
We'll see. I got real bad vibes from this performance.
It was their first
real SEC test, and they looked like crap.
To be fair, though, Georgia only loses to Alabama in the SEC.
No, I get that. But Texas looks at themselves as in that same stratosphere, as in that same category.
Yeah, how they rebound this weekend will tell us a lot about, like, the future of Texas probably in the SEC under Sark.
They can't Kyle McCord it up again like the Kyle McCord did last night. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
How much of this did you watch? I didn't want to ask.
I turned it off after the third pick six.
Okay.
Did he have more?
I don't think so.
Actual serious question.
I don't think so.
He had three pick sixes in the first half. I mean, at that point, it's incredible.
Yeah, but at that point, like, just like, how many can you go for?
I can't believe he had that many.
No, he did not have any more.
Okay, that's good to know.
He did have a rushing touchdown in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was rough, man. That was rough. I got my hopes up. I was trying to get back with that girl that I was talking to earlier this earlier this year, who went to Syracuse as well. I was like, hey, let's go watch the game. No response. Straight ghosted. I have her jacket. What do I do? What do I do with the jacket?
How nice?
I don't know. It's a jacket. I haven't looked. Like, I just realized it's on my hook, and I was like, do I drop this off, or do I be spiteful and put it in Goodwill?
She didn't return your text?
She didn't return my text.
Then no, she doesn't get it back.
Okay, so I just keep it?
I mean,
as a trophy, like a serial killer?
Donate it to Goodwill?
I don't want to donate it to Goodwill either, but I don't know.
Bring it in and see if, like, Sam or Abigail like it. Gift him a jacket.
Okay.
From a random girl you're hooking up with.
That seems kind of weird. Yeah, Sam seems very opposed to that. Yeah, we'll see. She's getting blocked later today. That's the new route. You get ghosted, I'm going to block you back. That'll show you. You weren't going to respond anyway.
I like that. But you know what's good about that, though, is that then if they later text you and it doesn't go through, they'll, like, reach out via Instagram if they're really interested.
No, I'm blocking. I mean, this is what I'm doing now.
Full block.
I'm blocking them on everything.
Oh.
I have blocked people that, like, honestly, I haven't even talked with that much recently just because I don't even want to give myself. This is more for me.
Uh-huh.
It's not about them. It's more I do not want to, like, all of a sudden at 12:19 on a Friday while getting my third Miller Lite at a place on 19th, I do not want to end up sliding in.
I think you need to also
prevent myself from doing that.
Yeah, you need to block on the socials and then probably delete the number after the block.
Okay.
Because if you don't delete the number, then you can just unblock the number and then text her when you're five Miller Lights in.
Okay.
Like, you don't want to do that. So you got to prevent that as well.
You got to prevent that.
Yeah,
okay.
you got to think three steps ahead.
Someone has suggested burn it like it's a Deshaun Watson jersey. Hey, that's different. Very different circumstance. We had good times, you know? Also, I don't believe I was abused in any way, shape, or form.
You don't believe?
Just emotionally by the lack of responses via text.
Gotcha.
But it's a little different. Yeah. A little different than those many victims of Watson.
Just a tiny little bit. So she has till tonight, though? Is there like a cutoff point?
No. It's literally the end of today's show.
I am.
That is the first thing I am doing once this thing is done. Blocked.
Mm.
But I am still thinking about like just dropping the box off at the plate. Like in a box, just dropping it off outside the door.
I don't think you need to do that.
Yeah, I know, but I don't really want it
how
in
long
house.
You, okay, how long have you had the jacket?
It's been here for about 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you concerned if you go to said house to drop off the jacket, you'll get pepper sprayed?
No, I'm just gonna. I'm literally just gonna throw it over the gate to her house.
Okay, gotcha.
Just gonna throw it over the gate.
I mean, that's a nice gesture.
Yeah, it's kind of on the way, so like maybe. But
I mean, if you do that and you don't block her, you might get a text saying thank you.
The Twitch is suggesting hold it hostage for a date. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. I already texted her. I was like, what do you want me to do with this?
And then
no response.
Oh, then.
Because no, at this point I know it's over, but now I'm just like, hey.
When's trash day?
I'm not throwing it. I feel bad. I'm not going to throw it out. I don't know how much it costs.
Yeah. But you have clothes that you've given to people that you've never gotten back, I'm sure.
They're
probably just in the trash somewhere.
No, honestly, no, I don't.
You don't have like any like hoodies or sweatpants or like anything that like.
No. No. Why would I have that, Joe? I'm not women sized.
Baggier clothes.
Baggier clothes.
You never had like a girl take like a hoodie like for when she's cold and she.
No, you're saying.
Forever?
Oh, I thought you were saying. No. This girl's like 5 foot nothing.
No, the other way.
Okay,
other
got way. It. Got it. Okay. To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey.
Throw it out.
We're at Bobcat of Houston. They're not throwing things out. They're just giving you 10% off parts and supplies. It's available until 2, and there's lunch provided here. Plus, you can enter to win a brand new Bobcat ZT3000 with a 48-inch deck, an Arctic cooler, or an Echo trimmer and blower. It's right off of 59. Why does it always say 69 on the highway? But it's 59 in real life. Does anyone know the answer to that?
Great question.
Honestly, this is something that has baffled me in the entire time that I've lived here in Houston.
I have no idea.
Like 12 years. Like at random spots, it says that 59 is 69. Nice. But it's not. It's 59.
Yeah.
And yet it says 69 in random spots.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Is this something that like the people outside the loop understand?
I think the Twitchers might actually be helpful for once and explain this to us.
They were
giving grief about it earlier.
I have zero faith in the Twitch right now. I have zero faith, except for in their ability to solve civil conflicts in the Middle East.
All right, Ryan lost in Texas. It is Interstate 69, and it's also Texas Highway 59.
Okay.
So it's both things at once.
Got it. But no one ever says 69.
I think you would only say it once you leave Texas.
Or leave.
Yeah.
But wait, where the hell does 69 go?
Great question.
Okay, anyway.
Charles? I don't know.
No, it definitely does not go to Lake
Charles. I don't know.
That is I-10. That is I-10.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's north versus east, okay?
Yep. Look, man, I've been here for 10 years, and I use my directions every single day to and from work.
Yeah?
Mostly because like, there's always some kind of bad accident, so I need to go a different route than my other way. So it's A, in case I get lost, and it's B, because of traffic.
Okay.
But A is because I get lost.
I mean, I do too.
Yeah,
honestly, sure. I think I gave this girl the ick because I was turning the GPS on once to go to the movies when I picked her up, and she seemed annoyed that I didn't know how to get there. And I was like, I'm just putting it on to see if we can cut 2 minutes off.
Okay.
Someone texted in, RIP Richie Aprilo. I repeat, do not return the jacket. Do not return the jacket. Yeah, you know what? I believe Richie Aprilo ends up dying because of a returned jacket.
Yeah.
Sopranos.
That's true.
So there you go. It's Galan and George. He's Joe and Paul. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Thursday night football. It's on Thursday night on Amazon, and now it's really just about Al Michaels being Al Michaels.
At the very end of that game, which
was officially decided by a missed face mask call on a sack that led to a safety. The Rams beat the Vikings 30-20. I heard something for the first time on an NFL broadcast, Joe. Al Michaels said, Viking fans have got to be saying, what the hell? Al Michaels is breaking ground. F the FCC. The FCC won't let me be me, so let me be me. And your life would be empty without me.
Why didn't he just...
I don't think I got those right, but it almost sounded right.
It was close. I think
I'm just like Eminem. What?
I think you're in the ballpark.
Check it. You mean...
He
could dig.
Oh, what the F, though, if he wanted to, right?
It's a good question. I don't know. I doubt this would be allowed on network TV, but I have never heard on an... And it's Al Michaels as well, so this might be one person who can get away with it.
Yeah.
But I've never heard what the hell uttered by a broadcaster. And I love it. I need more. I would like a WTF.
Yeah, especially like I know because it would air in L.A. and in Minnesota on local television. But since it's primarily on Amazon and it's an internet broadcast, like let it fly a little bit.
Yeah.
Give me a little Kirk Herbstreit. Just like, what the bleep are you doing?
Yeah, I want him to yell at his dog that he forces on every... I mean, takes with him everywhere.
You don't have to deal with it much longer.
No? So you think they're going to stop that?
I mean, dogs about to die.
Oh, is that why this is happening?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. You could laugh. It's a dog. It's not a. It's an animal.
All right. Well, not yet. But.
You can. I mean, yeah. Like that. That is kind of funny. I did this whole time. What's his face? Charlie the dog.
Ben.
Same thing. Charlie the golden retriever is being brought around everywhere he goes. He's getting special treatment because he's about to die. You know, we're all about to die. It would be nice if we all got special treatment
because
of that. So Kirk is bringing his dog around, and Al Michaels is eating his steaks.
Yeah, they were giving him a hard time for that last night.
They shouldn't have given him a hard time for that. That is the life. Oh, Al Michaels doesn't eat veggies. Here that is on the Amazon call. This is Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit talking about Al Michaels' favorite spot for a steak in Los Angeles.
Al, let's take a peek at this. I think this is one of your favorite stops.
Been here a couple of times.
Yeah.
A couple of thousand.
Your waiter?
Mark?
Your table? Your restaurant? Your waiter? Can we get you anything else? Get those vegetables out of here. Perfect. That's what
he likes.
Oh,
my God.
Mark knows.
Even Joe Buck referenced it on Monday Night Football the other night. Beautiful.
I got to stop in there. That's a beautiful
meal. Anytime. No veggies, baby. No veggies. You know that.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't eat veggies, too? Puka Nacua. He's my, brother in arms.
No.
Zero. Oh, yeah.
That's who you're trying to find him on the field before the game.
Andrew Whitworth told me that the other night. He had dinner with him.
What a transition.
Wow.
They put up a graphic. Al Michaels' career at Toscana Steakhouse. Total trips, 4,121. Steaks ordered, 3,672. Veggies consumed, zero.
I feel like you got to have like a little bit of veggie still.
I mean, he's still kicking it.
I'm having a steak dinner. Like, I'm very pro grilled asparagus.
Okay.
As like the side.
Okay.
Now past that, I don't need anything else.
I like to caramelize onions, put them on top.
Okay. Yep.
Sweet potato. I'll make a salad as well. No veggies at all. It does seem like it would be very bad for the pipes, if you will.
Yeah. Is it all the time, or is it only when he's doing, like, eating steak?
I don't know. I mean,
he makes it sound like it's everything.
I don't think I've been to a steakhouse 100 times in my life. And here this guy is going to this one place 3,000 times. Must be nice.
That's crazy.
Good for Al Michaels.
I mean, it also makes me like he just only eats steak. Like, does he eat chicken?
No. I mean, but if you had the option, if you're in the Al Michaels category. Yeah, you'd only have the steak. I hope he eats all the steak. Don't waste any steak. Don't be giving any of that steak to Ben, the stupid dog.
Yeah, no. If you're gonna order steak like that,
I'm dying. Give me a steak.
I mean, I feel like if you eat steak that often, you know exactly how much you're gonna eat that night when you're hungry. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're eating that frequently, you know exactly how much you need to order on any given night. So he should be an ultimate pro.
I hope he goes for like the tomahawk challenges and stuff. Goes to like another 72 ounce. But yeah, like someone's cutting the steak for him.
That's wild.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Like that's like
the picture that they showed on the graphic.
The steak has been chopped up into little steak tips.
Yeah, the ultimate king, Al Michaels, gets whatever he wants.
It's pretty great. Around the National Football League, we got Week 9 right around the corner, but this is Week 8, which has just started as of last night, and the Texans are going to play the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. The Texans are 5-point favorites for mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975 in this game. It is a light game, a light week of games. Really, the only games that I feel like are interesting are Eagles and Bengals in the noon window, Bills and Seahawks in that 3 o'clock window, and, okay, Sunday. I mean, it would have been cool if we had Jaden Daniels going up against with the Commanders.
He did practice
against
today.
Caleb Williams. He did practice? Okay.
But they said they pushed it, so it doesn't sound like he's going to play.
He is a rookie, so there's that. And they have a bad track record in Washington when it comes to mobile quarterbacks perhaps playing through the pain.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're in first place in the NFC East. And they seem to be in pretty good shape with the way that the Eagles and Cowboys have looked. So that game could be fun. It really depends on whether or not Daniels plays, the battle of the two probably best rookie quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
And then you got Sunday Night Football between the Cowboys and 49ers. Do you have any interest in that one? I am not feeling it.
I was just thinking the same thing. Like the Cowboys,
they're a mess.
Maybe it's for that. Maybe that's the interest. It's like, are they going to just collapse? But what the 49ers are dealing with, like all these injuries, it just kind of ruins it.
It's two marquee franchises. It's two huge fan bases. So it's going to be a ratings bonanza. But it's one of those games I'm looking at, and, I mean, it's been so one-sided in favor of the 49ers against the Cowboys of late. And on top of that, both of these teams are struggling. I wonder what the national interest for that game will be. Still better than the World Series, but, I mean,
yeah,
that doesn't take much.
I am intrigued a little bit by Arizona-Miami now this weekend, now that Tua has been cleared in
Tua
the concussion protocol.
Officially,
yeah,
right.
So it's like, so Tua, what he looks like, you know, that Dolphins offense can obviously be a lot of fun. Arizona's been, you know, they've been a fun team to watch this year and last year. So Miami Arizona is kind of my sneaky game I'm intrigued by this weekend.
Couple other notes from the 10-minute drill. Doug Peterson, anything's possible when it comes to the AFC South division race.
Yeah, not so sure about that.
Anything's possible.
I think there's two possibilities.
Quoting Kevin Garnett, what are the two possibilities?
Texans win, Colts win. That's it.
The Jaguars have a ridiculous schedule coming up, starting with Sunday at home against the Green Bay Packers. See the new stadium they're going to get built? It's going to have a clear roof over the top of it of some sort. It's going to be able to reduce temperatures by 20 degrees, so it's still going to be outside, but it's going to be kind of inside.
I didn't think they were going to stay in Jacksonville.
I didn't either. I'm kind of disappointed. I thought it would be funny to have the London Jaguars in the AFC South.
I thought there was also a real strong possibility they could have ended up in St. Louis because the owner went to the University of Illinois, which is about 3 hours away from St. Louis.
Oh.
So I thought there was a chance that maybe he would do that as well. I still don't think they'll ever have a good fan base. They can get a new stadium, but it doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. Yeah, London is really the only place. Or maybe Mexico City, I don't know. DeAndre Hopkins was asked about getting traded to the Chiefs, and he said playing meaningful football takes your game to another level. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with Kansas City in his first game. His press conference, he said, they could have traded me anywhere. I got to tip my hat off for those guys before anything and thank them a lot for that. It is a new thing in the NFL where teams are making good by players who quit on them.
Yeah,
kind of crazy.
Yeah, I feel like it's like something maybe the players just saw that kept happening in the NBA, and they were like, "Hey, what about us?" Like,
you got to negotiate something into to make that happen. But yeah, it seems like with DeAndre Hopkins here, the Titans realize they're all bad vibes right now.
Yeah,
so they're like, "Well, let's make this guy happy."
Yeah, and just get him out of town because he's probably also becoming a major headache inside the. Inside the locker room as well. So it's funny. He's like, I think I heard Sean and Dell talking about this yesterday. He's probably played with a good quarterback four total years of his entire career. He'll have a half a season of Mahomes, half a season of Watson, and then three more seasons of Watson in his career. And besides that, it's been Levis and all these terrible quarterbacks for the Texans.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes for him. Him and his baby mamas.
Sound like Bill O'Brien with right there. or Jack Easterby. Josh Reynolds and another man were injured in a shooting last Friday where they were followed from a strip club. So that's why Josh Reynolds got scratched on Sunday. Holy smokes.
He got shot?
He got shot. Shot twice. Once in his left arm. Once in the back of his head. Another man was shot in his back. A third victim was wounded by shattered glass. All three had scrapes from climbing over a fence.
Got shot in the back of the head?
Got shot in the back of the head.
He's not dead?
He was at the Broncos facility on Friday, the day of the shooting. The team's been in communication with him and offering support since then. He's been watching practices on the field all week. He already was on the four-week injured reserve after he fractured finger October 6th and missed the last two games, didn't travel to New Orleans, and he will be sidelined the next two games. But in addition to dealing with a finger issue, he is recovering from being shot in the back of the head. Clearly, it must have been a flesh wound.
Yeah. What a weird year in the NFL.
Two receivers have been shot this year.
Three.
Wait, who else? Ricky
Tank
Pearsall.
Dell.
You're right. I forgot about Tank Dell. I'm being desensitized to wide receiver being shot.
Tank Dell, Ricky Pearsall, they're both back already. And then Josh Reynolds.
Oof.
We'll be back at some point this year, it sounds like.
Ay, caramba. He's Joe and Paul. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're at the grand opening of Bobcat Houston up in Porter. 10% off parts and supplies. And on top of that, you got lunch, a chance to win a new Bobcat ZT3000 with a 48-inch deck, an Arctic cooler, or an Echo trimmer and blower. Come out and say hi. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter.
Yep, we're going to be here until 3 o'clock. Beautiful day outside. And if you get here before 2, 10% off parts and supplies. There's lunch here. And you can enter to win a new Bobcat ZT3000 with a 48-inch deck, an Arctic cooler, or an Echo trimmer and blower. And hey, some of the free food that they have here, really good. Guess what I just had for the first time in my life?
This blows my mind.
I just had a Reese's peanut butter. I think this is a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, it is. It's like the Halloween
It's like a
version.
Different version of it. Yeah, I'd never had one ever in my life.
So you don't even have like the normal version?
No, that was really good. It was really good.
I guess I'm just, like, it just blows my mind. I know you don't like chocolate. I know you don't, but
you know what? Here's what I think is going on now. I think I actually don't hate chocolate as much as I thought I hated chocolate.
Oh, interesting.
So you know what happened? I remember when I was a little kid, my parents used to get us oatmeal raisin cookies. I love those. I love oatmeal cookies. I don't know why. It's just who I am. And one time we got oatmeal raisin cookies, and there was chocolate chips actually inside the bag. Oatmeal raisin cookies.
Okay.
And I had one, and I thought it was so bad. I was 4 years old, and I was traumatized for life. This is what happened with cheese as well, where I got sick once because I ate cheese that was moldy, and that's why I'm out on cheese. It's all like small moments of psychological trauma that turned me up
on
food
that. I understand that. Like, that's why, I mean, mine's more adulthood things, but...
adulthood things? That sounds like a shock.
No, I mean... Well, no, like...
For
like,
real reasons!
First time I ever drank... I didn't drink in high school, so I was sitting.
I didn't either until the very end.
So I was sitting at the table with my buddy. Uh-huh. We were just crushing drinks, beers.
Hell yeah, dude!
And then stood up, felt drunk for the first time.
Ooh, no!
Then drank some whiskey.
Oh no!
Yacked. And now, if any whiskey touches my mouth, I feel sick.
Damn!
It's like permanent.
All of it.
I've been like trying to fix it.
So I had that same problem because my sophomore year of college, we had five handles of Jack Daniels. We had five friends. And our parents were coming. So we were like, well, let's get rid of it as much as we can. And I got through half of it, and I got the most annihilated I've ever gotten in my life. Apparently, I was fighting my friends. One of them had used a pressure point to knock me out. They put me on a couch. They left the couch outside of the dorm. And I just slept on a couch outside of the dorm.
Was it winter?
No, it was May. It was the last day of the year. And I woke up and I had like some spew on me and stuff like that. And for the longest time, whenever I had whiskey, any kind of whiskey afterwards, it would immediately come back up.
Gotcha.
That has since gone away, but I will never touch. And this is nothing against Jack Daniels.
I used to like Jack Daniels.
I will never touch Jack Daniels again because of that. But I can do Scotch. It's the sweet whiskeys I can't really do anymore. Sometimes that's it.
I started to try to, like, my father-in-law will, like, let me try stuff sometimes. Like, he'll give me some top-shelf stuff when I'm at the restaurant. That doesn't seem to give me the same results. So it's the, you know, there's a certain price point that my taste buds don't like. But okay. Yeah, Reese's Pieces for the first time. That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, my food takes should not be listened to.
But
my
music takes
should also not be listened
to.
But
I like that you're working through them, Paul. Like, you're trying to get better every day.
I'll try new things. Yeah, I'm trying to get better every single day, like the Texans offense should be.
Reese's Pieces is a good place to start because of the peanut butter in there. It's very good.
Who's the Reese's Pieces to the Texans fixing their problems on offense?
Who's the Reese's Piece? That's a great question.
I feel like it's honestly Joe Mixon right now.
I was about to say the same thing, because Joe Mixon just makes everything go.
Yeah, this is what it's been. When the offense has been at its best, especially now with no Nico Collins, it's been Joe Mixon figuring it out somehow. He did it against the Colts. He did it against the Patriots. He did it against the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just makes everything. He makes life so much easier for them, or he should. He didn't last week, even though he was awesome. Like, he should make life so much easier for C.J. Stroud and this offense that you would think that they're just going to keep trying to feed him the rock consistently. Yeah, Joe Mixon's probably he's the Reese's Pieces. So what's below that then for you? What's your normal candy?
Oh, well, all the Wonka stuff. I'm going to say it with the Boston accent right now. Sweet Tots. Dude.
Sweet Tots.
Sweet Tarts, Nerds, any of the stuff that's not chocolate.
Okay.
Starbursts.
Yep.
Airheads.
Very good.
Swedish Fish.
Yep.
Smarties.
I think I saw some Smarties over there.
I'm trying to think. It's basically that stuff is what I like.
Okay.
But I was raised in a house that didn't really like candy, didn't really like sweets. So cookies were generally the best I could do. And like most 35-year-old men child, I have never gone past my problem as a child, which was, hey, there's a box of cookies here.
Eat all of them.
I'm going to eat literally all of them.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day when the metabolism was kind of ridiculous, I would be able to eat that no problem whatsoever. Now I puke it halfway through.
Yeah,
it's not fun. Getting older.
But yeah, so Joe Mixon, he's Reese's Pieces.
He's the Reese's Pieces.
The Nerds, I guess, are the Sweet Tots.
Sweet Tots.
That's Tank Dell.
Is that because he's small?
Yep.
I don't think Tank Dell's going to do anything tomorrow.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
Well, I mean, what has he done this year?
I'm bummed about Tank Dell. He was so much fun to watch last year. I was excited when they drafted him. We knew he was undersized, and then last year to see how effective he was. But, like, it's just the dropsies a little bit. Even when he's had moments to do something, he drops a touchdown last week. So that's where I'm with you. I have low expectations for Tank Dell. But they need him to – if they want to win the next two games before Nico can come back, they need Tank Dell to go off in at least one of them. Like, he's got to have success – against Indy or New York if you're going to win both those games. I just can't imagine they win they go 2-0 the next 2 weeks where he's, you know, three catches total.
I don't know. I think I could see it happening.
Really?
Him. Yeah. I feel like
Diggs. Because of Mixon?
I feel like Diggs is the receiver that makes more sense to get production from. Dell it's just not happening this year.
Yeah, I want them to try the stuff they're doing with Diggs, like the one-yard screen passes. Can they start trying that stuff with Tank Dell? Like, he's a little bit quicker still. Like, at least give him the ball in a short yardage situation to try to make one guy miss. We saw they've done the reverse stuff. Be a little more creative with Tank.
It did feel like C.J. Stroud was implying, hey, let's do a little bit more with this week and after Sunday's game against the Packers. So maybe we'll see something like that. I'm not opposed to it. By the way, while we're on just weird things involving food, the Seattle Seahawks just tweeted this out. So hungry, need to find my wife, and an Uncrustable. The Seahawks
are there people,
official Twitter account.
I know the camera, the Wi-Fi is not super great, so we're a little fuzzier today. Are there people from the Seahawks watching us right now?
I don't think so.
Because you just ate an Uncrustable.
I did eat an Uncrustable, but I don't have a wife.
Gotcha.
We're okay. No, yeah. No, I don't think they care about me anymore now that they've done in with me.
Yeah.
Now once they took me out, I'm just kidding. The Seahawks didn't do that. That was the Mormons. The Mormons.
That was my favorite part of the last break. Is that like I know we didn't know there was gonna be food today, and also I'm walking back from grabbing candy, and all of a sudden I see Paul. Just,
yeah. Like, oh, what's this?
A little Uncrustable action.
Anyway, he's Joe and Paul. It is Gallon and George. We are at Bobcat of Houston up in Porter. Come on out. Discounts and parts and supplies. You can win a brand new Bobcat right off of 59 in Porter. Is Bobby Slowick going to figure things out on Sunday against Indianapolis? The Texans offensive coordinator, who seems to be persona non grata here in Houston. You get to decide that, and you'll hear from him next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.